everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts,
woo!
Us, Ariel and Raylene.
Yahoo! Wow, what an exciting time.
Oh, man. Welcome to the night edition, everyone.
It's so weird. It'll be no different for everyone listening, but it feels so strange
maybe,
for us.
Maybe we're, like, more confessional at night. Maybe we'll say deeper secrets at night.
I do have a random bottle of wine next to me, which is totally different from a Sunday morning vibe when we normally record. It's a Monday. It's a Monday, folks.
It's Monday night. It was my boyfriend's birthday on the weekend, and we always record... Raylene's digging into the wine.
It's been a day.
We always record on Sunday mornings. Well, for me, it's like Sunday early afternoon, but basically that for me is the morning because I wake up so late. But because it was my boyfriend's birthday, Connor's birthday, I asked Raylene if she could record on a Monday night instead. And thankfully you said yes, because otherwise I would not have been able to drive back home in time, and I was very stressed.
And there would have been no podcast.
There just would have been no podcast, exactly. So thankfully, here we are. It's, like I said, I mean, it's 10:19 p.m. for me, Raylene. It doesn't...
That's pretty late.
I know, it is pretty late, but that's all right. It's fun. It's like a sleepover. It's like a bookish
sleepover. Yeah, we're having a slumber party.
It's nice to be here. The last episode we recorded was with Brenna Thumler. If you haven't heard that episode, please check it out. It was so much fun. We love Brenna, friend of the podcast, and it was really lovely, and we were really excited to be able to do that. So definitely check out that episode if you haven't heard it yet. Another really big positive of having of having guests is that you hear about books that aren't the same books we talk about every single week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And actually, funnily enough, one of the books I'm going to talk about today is a something I would recommend to Brenna. So I wish she was here today, but that's okay. She's going to hear this.
Yes,
so,
I'm sure she's listening.
It's stressful. You know, that's why I'm recommending it to her. Well, before we jump in, as I told you today, I kind of have like a crazy story.
Yeah, really texted me and she's like, I've got a tale to tell. And I was like, what's that mean? She's like, you'll find out on the podcast. And I was like, okay. Like, there was I'm very suspenseful.
So vague.
I'm glad we're starting off. So let me, what's happening?
Yeah, and... this is something that, I mean, it's kind of like, you'll see by the end of the story why I wanted to tell you specifically, because I feel like you're going to react very, like,
oh,
wah!
God. Oh, God.
So let's just jump right into it. So today, I was at work, so, like, it's a Monday, so if we had recorded this yesterday, you wouldn't have gotten this story for weeks. But I was just sitting at work, it's like, you know, 3 o'clock, 3:30, and my coworker gets a phone call from her husband, and her husband, his brother works at the hospital at the COVID clinic. Where, you know, really close to where I work.
Really? So did you get your vaccine?
I'm not done telling my story.
I want to cry.
So she gets a call and she's like, okay, I just found out that they have 9 extra vaccines just like at this place. Like, can any of us go? Like, it's kind of a bad time. We're really busy, but like, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, long story short, 3 of us end up zipping across town to try and get our vaccine. And we did not get them because they were actually allocated to some other people because we weren't on a special list.
Okay.
But, however, we are now on the special list.
Oh my God.
But it was just like a crazy day. For like 10 minutes, I thought I was about to get my vaccine. And I was like, the adrenaline was pumping. But alas, I did not get it.
Okay.
But I needed you to know.
I'm not going to lie to you, really. I have literal tears in my eyes. I actually feel like crying and I kind of feel like I can't talk. Oh my God. Guys, this pandemic has been so stressful. And I know, Raylene, you've mentioned before on the pod. I'm just going to talk through the tears because I feel like if I keep talking,
please,
they'll go away.
It'll all be fine.
You've talked about on the pod before how your life really has had to stay very the same because the industry you work in has kept going and you've gone to work every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's obviously...
I've been lucky, honestly.
Yeah, you've been really lucky with a lot of things have... and your town hasn't had too many, like, big outbreaks or anything that has have made you go into lockdowns and stuff like that. But even so, just... It's been so painful, and my parents don't have the vaccine yet. Nobody that I really love and cherish has gotten the vaccine because Canada is so slow with our supply. So anyway, Now I know that when you do get it, I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna fully cry because I almost
She's gonna cry so bad.
I almost
Well, and I had this moment of, like, hesitation, too, when I found out, because I was like, but Kyle isn't here, and, like, nobody else that I know is able to come with me. Right. Like, should I get it? I'm like, is that okay? And then I was like, yeah, like, I'm just gonna do it. And it was this crazy moment for me, because I'm like, dude, can I be the only person I know who's been vaccinated? It feels wrong. I don't want to do it, but I do.
I know. I mean, the real way that we should all think about it is the true goal isn't personal immunity, it's herd immunity. And so every single person that gets the vaccine adds to our herd immunity. And it's good that we're going through priority groups and, like, age ranges. Like, it makes sense that here in Canada, we're prioritizing Indigenous groups because, like, we have evidence that the virus spreads so quickly in Indigenous communities, and we need to protect, you know, vulnerable groups like people over 80 and stuff. So that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But also, we just need to get everyone vaccinated. So
yeah, so it's like, if you have a chance, exactly. You should
if
take
you have
it.
A chance, take that chance. Wow, wow. I feel very emotional. You know what? It's been a real day for me too, Raylene, and I think you just took me over the edge.
It was a little too much for her.
Too much for
but
me.
Anyways, long story short, I don't have it.
But you're on the list.
But it was very crazy. I, like, had such adrenaline today.
Yeah.
And I just crashed. Wow. After I got home, I was like, I want to sleep now. And it's only 5:30.
And I still have to talk to Ariel for multiple hours. Oh, God.
Yeah, but that's okay. I'm excited to talk about books. Yes. I thought I hadn't read anything, and then I realized that I actually have. So I feel like it'll be a fun episode.
Yes, I have too. I'm excited to talk about books. I've got some cool book stuff to chat about, actually, so we should jump into it. We both have book hauls.
Yeah.
When do we not have book hauls? Do you remember, like, a year
honestly,
ago?
Honestly, I've just fallen off the wagon.
Yeah, well, I mean, so do have I. Do you remember a year ago when we were like, we have to remove the book haul segment because it's pressuring us into buying books, and now every week before we record, we're like, by the way, I have books to haul.
I do have a book haul, and it's never just one book.
No, I've got, like, well, okay, guys. As I told Raylene, as I texted you a couple days ago, I bought 12 books over the weekend, hallelujah, and I am only going to talk about 5 of them today, because otherwise we'd be here for 36 years, and also, Raylene, to be honest, I filmed a book haul for my YouTube channel, and I can't spoil it all here.
That's fair, that's totally
so
fair.
So everyone, if you want to know the other books that I got, I got, like, 6 or 5 graphic novels, and I'm not going to talk about any of them here.
Okay.
Except for the 2 that I read. And so, if you want to know the graphic novels I got, you gotta go to my YouTube channel. Video's up now. It's actually, like, a really stupid video, Raylene, because I really wanted to do an art haul, because I bought so many art prints online, like on Etsy and stuff, to hang in my house. Mm-hmm. And then I needed frames for all of those pieces of art. So I went to Value Village and I spent like $100 and I got like 11 frames or something.
Amazing.
Of varying sizes and degrees. And I was like, I really want to make a video where I haul these frames. But that's the dumbest video I've ever thought of. And I was like, if I put it with an art haul and a book haul, maybe someone will actually click on this video. So secretly, it's a frame haul.
Yeah, who cares about the books? That was just a sneaky little attack to make people click on it.
But I mean, let's start with the book haul, shall we? We both have 5 books to talk about. Let me just start it off here, because I'm just excited. I, like, really want to tell you about all these books I got.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to start with the funniest one, because I think you're going to laugh at me. I got Anne of Green Gables, the manga edition.
That's
cute.
Awesome.
It is so hilariously adorable. Like, I laugh not at all to, like, I'm not laughing at the art style or anything. It's just crazy seeing a classic book in a manga style. Like, you just don't expect it.
Yeah, like, I've seen the Jane Austen versions of those, and there's, like, a Les Miserables as well.
Yeah.
I've seen, and I'm like, should I get it? And then I was like, no, don't do it. It's, like, $30, and do I really need to read this?
Yeah.
But you do need Anne.
I
you have an obsession that
I
needs
need
to be
Anne.
Fulfilled.
Exactly.
It's like you kind of are collecting different types of Anne.
I am.
In a way.
It started without
you've got
me
a few different
knowing.
Types.
I didn't even know it was happening, but here it is.
Yeah.
When I was in Halifax over the weekend, we visited this really awesome comic shop. And it was like full, like, oh god, it was so good. It had so much good stuff in it. So whenever you visit me, we're gonna have to for sure go. It was called Strange Adventures, and it was like the most graphic novels I've ever seen, hence why I went crazy. I saw this one and I had to have it, and like, it looks like a really fun, adorable adaptation. And it kind of makes sense for Anne, for her to be like a drama anime girl, because she's so dramatic. Yeah. Okay, next up I got The Mothers by Britt Bennett, which I've talked about wanting for a while now, so I wanted to mention that one. I got Memorial by Brian Washington. Have you heard of this one?
Yeah, we talked about it like a couple of months ago, I think. I got it out from the library, but then I didn't have time to read it.
Yeah.
I was hoping to read it before you did, and then I didn't.
I'm sure you still will. So this has two very different covers. The US and the UK covers are very different.
I like that one.
I went with the UK one because I thought it was so beautiful, and it's paperback, whereas the US one is only out in hardcover.
I do like yours better than the one I think it's had from the library.
Really beautiful. But this book, I keep hearing really good reviews of it. Our friend Austin said it was like the favorite book he's read so far this year.
Amazing.
I know. But it sounds really good. So basically it's about this couple. These two guys are in this relationship and have been for like a really long time, and they still love each other, but the relationship has gotten a little like stale. You know, the magic is gone. And they're sort of like, I'm in this relationship because I love you, but is this gonna work? And then there's like a shakeup, of course, because it's a novel.
Yeah,
so there's gotta be a catalyst. And basically, one of the guys in the relationship, what's his name? I'm sure the back tells me. Mike finds out that his estranged father is dying in Osaka, back in Japan, where his family is from. His mother shows up out of nowhere and is like, your father is dying. So he decides to go back to Japan to spend time with his dying father. And so he goes to Japan, so you see that, but you also see his mother, who ends up, for whatever reason, I can't understand because I haven't read the book, moving in with his boyfriend.
Weird.
And so it's these really interesting dynamics and relationships that sound like it's just going to be like it could be like one of my favorite books of the year.
Oh, totally. Because it's like people connecting or reconnecting with people that they might not be very close with. That's kind of cool. That's very
I think that sounds really cool. Okay, then I got The Remarkable Journey of Coyote Sunrise. Have I mentioned this one?
You mentioned it once and I looked it up and I was like, yes, this sounds great.
Yes. So this is about, it's middle grade, which to me is kind of the one thing that I'm a little like, whoa, am I about to read a middle grade? Not because there's anything against middle grade, just because I haven't read middle grade.
You just don't do that. Yeah.
I don't remember the last middle grade I read, like Series of Unfortunate Events. I don't know. Anyways, this book is about a girl who with her dad lives in a school bus. And they have for the last 5 years since her mother passed away. And she is, like, conning her father somehow to drive across the country to go to a park where her and her mother and her sisters had buried a treasure box, like, a while, 5 years ago or whatever. So she wants to uncover this. But as you know, I think I mentioned this when I talked about it. Like, the reason I wanted it was because I was looking for something like Captain Fantastic.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Totally.
I needed a Captain Fantastic book. So I really haven't found many books, novels that are about like sustainable living, alternative living. Like that's why I found this book. Cause I was really, really searching the internet for like books about people living in tiny homes, books about people living off the grid, but not like pioneers, like people in the 21st century who choose to live
not like a scary story. I've read a few books that are about that, but that are usually like stressful books, so
they're
that
horror.
Sounds like the opposite of that.
The last one I'm wanted to talk about, I'm very excited about. I got Switch by Mrs. A.S. King.
Oh my gosh,
I know, hype. So this is her new book that comes out in May of this year. Remember when I had the ARC for Dig and didn't read it for like 3 years after it came out? Just kidding, like a year or something. I have another chance at redemption, really.
Like, you could do it. I honestly, I dare you to read that book before it comes out.
I accept your dare.
I triple dog dare you. You can't back down from that.
I don't know exactly what day in May. It doesn't say. It just says May. Maybe it doesn't say specifically because things are so...
You've got a month either way.
Yeah. Things are so confusing during COVID times that, like, it can always get changed. But yes, I'm very excited to read it. I keep forgetting what it's about because I don't really care. I just want to read it because it's by exactly. A.S. King. It says, a surreal new novel set in a world where time has stopped and frantic adults demand teenagers focus on finding practical solutions to the worldwide crisis. Relatable.
Well, that sounds
anyway,
great.
Sounds great. So those are the 5 books I picked up that I'm like, I really wanted to tell you about. I mean, I'm excited about the other ones too. Maybe I'll just send you a little pic. Or maybe I'll make you watch my haul video. Get me that view, Raylene.
Yeah, force me to watch your video. It's not like I wouldn't have done it by myself anyway.
Well, I really enticed you with the frames. I know you want to go check out those.
Yeah, I'm not going to get to see the frames any other way unless I watch this video.
What did you get? I want to know.
My picks are very random. So I ordered the next 2 volumes of Goodnight Pun Pun because I really loved the first 2. So I got volumes 3 and 4, and I'm so excited to read them. They came really weirdly fast from the book depository. Normally, book depository takes me like 3 or 4 months for me to get the books, like a really long ass time. These came in like a totally reasonable, like 2 or 3 weeks. I was like, huh? They're here already? I was expecting to wait forever. So I'm really excited to read those. I probably will end up reading them soon, honestly, because I'm 3 books behind on my Goodreads like yearly challenge right now, which is strange for me. I just have been slow moving. I haven't read anything like quickly lately. So I got those 2, which I'm very excited about. And then I have a little used book haul. I picked up, funny, I just talked about it a couple episodes ago in my book olds, Tipping the Velvet by Sarah Waters.
I remember you mentioned that.
Yeah, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to see if my local used bookstore has it. And they did. And it's a nice, really nice copy, actually. And then I also have been wanting to get more short story collections. So I also picked up Runaway by Alice Munro.
People might not
have heard of Alice Munro, but she is a very prolific short story author. From Canada. And she's just, from what I hear, she's very awesome. And
I mean, she's supposed to literally be the best short story writer of all
like,
time.
Like, that's what she's known for. I'm pretty sure she only has, like, 1 or 2 novels, and the rest of her books are short stories, and she has many, many books.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of meaning to read her for a long time without really having any intentions of, like, actually picking one up. And then recently I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to pick a random one that sounds cool and buy it. So I did that. I bought Runaway. And then the last
book
that I...
just so everyone knows, she won the Nobel Prize for literature for her short
like
stories.
She's the real deal,
like,
my
she's
dude.
The, yeah, exactly. She's the real deal. I have only read like 1 or 2 of her short stories because I had to read them for some class in university. And I remember liking them, but it was a classic case of I'm in too much of a rush and I didn't really get to dig in. So I really, really want to know what you think.
Yeah, I'm excited to read it. Hopefully I'll read it soon, but you know how these things go. It might not happen soon. And then the last book I got is another short story collection, and it's called A Manual for Cleaning Women by Lucia Berlin, or Lucia, I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
Have you talked about this one, or...?
No, but our friend Max has read it and talked about it on Goodreads, so maybe you saw that? I don't know. But it's crazy. This book has a 4.2 average rating on Goodreads, which is pretty crazy for a short story collection.
Yeah.
Usually short story collections, you know, obviously they're quite middling because people don't often love every single story, and so they get kind of average ratings. But this book gets like lots and lots of high ratings, which makes me think it's just an overwhelming, like, ton. I'm pretty sure there's about 40 stories or so in this book. Like, it's quite a lot of stories because they're not very long, which is very exciting to me. I don't really know what any of the stories are about. I just kind of took Max's recommendation and was like, yes, I want to read that. And then my local bookstore just happened to have it in stock. I thought that was so crazy.
Lucky.
It just seems
cool
like a random book, but it is very cool. So that's one that I am itching to read pretty soon. So that's my random little book haul.
Watch us go. Just getting cool books. We're so awesome.
We're pretty cool people.
Oh, guys, we've got to hype ourselves up, you know? Otherwise, no one will. Okay, Raylene, what did you finish reading this week that you wanted to review, you wanted to mention to the people?
Well, it's very interesting that you ask, because I had two hardcover books that I had to finish
by in the room.
Today.
Elephants in the
and
room.
Uh-oh. Did I finish Uh-oh. Them? Yes, I did. I read both of them. We actually haven't decided on what the punishment is, so
Shoot,
I can't wait
I
to...
I keep forgetting. Okay, this is not Raylene's fault. This is my fault. Raylene went through the... She was like, how about I go through and pick, like, five or whatever, six of the punishments that people sent us, and then mm-hmm. I will... Then you, Ariel, will pick your favorite one of those. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. And you did your side of the work. I just keep forgetting to do my side.
And so I didn't know what the punishment was going to be, so I was like, I really need to make sure that I finish these books.
That's actually... Maybe that was smart.
maybe. I was planning on finishing them either way, but I kind of had like a crazy little weekend trying to finish Dark Horses. But anyways, I'll start with Clara and the Sun by Kazuo Ishiguro, because that is the first one I finished. I guess I was reading it probably last time we recorded, and it was really good. Yeah, I really liked it. It honestly felt very similar in kind of mood, I think, to Never Let Me Go. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that, and I had only just read that a few months ago, right? So it's still kind of fresh in my mind. So I was like, yeah, like, this is good. Like, it wasn't too similar in a way that was, like, not good.
Right.
But it had a similar vibe, so it definitely attracted me. And
which one
it was,
do you prefer?
Probably Never Let Me Go.
Okay.
Just a little bit, just because the subject matter is a little bit darker, I think, in that one, and I prefer that. It's just a little bit more up my street. But Clara and the Sun was really cool, because it's an, like I've talked about last time, it's an AI story. It's like a sci-fi, classic sci-fi type of thing, but it's not as stressful and, like, end of the world feeling as a lot of those stories can be. It's quite calm, and it's just about this little family and kind of what they're going through, and it's it was just, like, quieter than you would expect a book like that to be. So I really liked it. It's kind of hard to explain, but it was really cool. I feel like if you have read Ishiguro's books before and enjoyed them even a little bit, I'd say this is worth checking out. This also could be a good place to start, because it's not too weird. I feel like Never Let Me Go could turn people off a little bit, like it did for me the first time I read it, just because it's a little bit strange in, you know, the way it's written, I guess, but... Really good. I really liked it. So I'm glad that I picked
that up
and read it right away.
That's
so
awesome.
That was another thing. It just, as an experiment, it was really nice to actually read a new release right when it came out.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I did that with the Bill Gates one.
Yeah, that's true.
And that felt so satisfying to be like, at the beginning of the year, we talk about these books we're excited about, and then we wait so long to read them. If I read, because I had three, right? Wasn't it? The Bill Gates, Switch by A.S. King,
and
the
King
Anthropocene
book.
Reviewed. Yeah. So if I, and that one also comes out in May, I think. So if I read all of these in time, I could actually be like, we can do this, man. We just gotta read a lot.
Yeah, we just gotta read.
It's so simple. Yeah,
it felt really good, and it wasn't hard, like, because that was at that moment when Clara and the Sun came in for me, I was ready to read it. Like, I was so excited to read it, and then I just read it. So it never had a chance to sit sadly on my shelf, unread, waiting to be read while I'm reading other books that I maybe don't care about as much. It was just like, I'm just going to read it. So that was really good.
That's awesome.
So as an experience, it was awesome. I'm glad not to be punished for that. but then I also read Dark Horses by Susan Mihalik. Still don't know how to say that. But that book, and I was more ready for it as like a second book, because I remember it was kind of a dark book, and I was scared to read it because I was in a stressful place a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
But it was a stressful book. This is the book that I would recommend to Brenna Thumler, because it was very stressful the whole way through.
She said she loves those stressful
reads. She loves
reads.
To be stressed, but it's also about, like, you know, something really intense and kind of a taboo topic, which I think she might be kind of attracted to as well, because it makes for stressful situations.
Can you remind me what the plot is?
Yeah, I'll explain it. So this book is about a girl named Roan Montgomery, and she's a 15-year-old equestrian, like, superstar,
the
basically.
Horse book,
of course. This is the horse book, which, man, I think I love reading about horses. I really do. I think I might, my next recommendation request, like, reverse recommendation, might be just like, guys, give me some books about horses.
Or, yeah, we'll, you gotta post a photo of it on Instagram and people can give you some recommendations.
Give me some horse recommendations. I really love it. It's about this girl, and her dad was actually a Olympic equestrian. Like, he won gold medals in the Olympics. So he's, like, really famous in this community. And so therefore she also is. And but it's very stressful because behind the scenes he abuses her sexually and emotionally, and it's just like not fun to read, you know, like it's very stressful but very well done. Like if you can stomach reading that type of thing, it is a very interesting book, and that combined with the whole horse thing was just a really, like, it was just a really good read for me. I don't know, it all kind of came together, and there's lots of crazy kind of twists and turns throughout the story. I cried a whole lot at one part.
It gotcha.
Like, this book, it really got me. I was reading the book in the bath, and I was like, ah, it's so sad. I was just crying. Yeah, because, yeah, if you're connected to animals and, you know, human beings, it just, like, will hit you really hard.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I read both these books. They're both very different.
Yeah.
But equally exciting books to me, and now I don't have any hardcovers that I've purchased recently that I have to read. I have no chains holding me down.
You're a free woman, Raylene. You're a free woman.
I know. Wait until you hear what I'm reading next. You'll be like, yeah.
Oh, that's
you
so
go,
exciting.
Girl.
Well, congratulations on not having to be punished. And I wanted to ask, is Dark Horses like my Dark Vanessa at all? I feel like they go in the same category because of the covers, the word dark, the spookiness of the topics. Like, it just, those feel like they're the same.
They are kind of similar. I actually was drawing a lot of parallels between them while I was reading this book. I definitely liked this one more than my Dark Vanessa. I wasn't a huge fan of that one. But it is quite similar. Like, it is quite graphic in a lot of parts, which makes it a very uncomfortable read, but that's, like, important to the experience as well, is being made uncomfortable by it. But yeah, it is, you know, a young girl and a man who has so much power over her because of his position. And it is quite similar. So I'd say if you like one, you'll probably like the other. Obviously, it depends. But
that's what I was thinking. They're quite similar. Just because you talked about Dark Vanessa recently. Was it recently? I don't know. I just remember you talking about it.
It was probably a year ago that I read it, but it feels like it could have been yesterday.
Yeah, everything is blurring together. Well, what did I read this week? I think I read three things. I read three things and I had a tragedy. So let me talk to you about, let's start with the tragedy first. So, I feel like the listeners of the pod are on this adventure with me of picking the book that I am going to recommend for Life's Library Book Club. And I decided that I was going to do So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. Because what are we talking about, Raylene? Of course it has to be that.
That was the obvious
choice. So I messaged Rosianna and I of the podcast and or of the book club, I mean, and I was like, Rosianna, I want to do this book. What do you think? Like, because obviously I want to pick a book that's going to be good for her community. She knows the book club. And I was like, do you think that this is something your book club will enjoy? Is it something that you think you and John will enjoy talking about, et cetera, et cetera? And she was like, dude, that sounds perfect. And I was like, oh my God, I did it. I'm going to be able to come on the podcast and be victorious. And then I found out, it hurts to say it. Then I found out that I can't do that book because, It's fair, but they don't do books for the book club that are Audible exclusives for the audiobook. And you can only listen to that audiobook through Audible because it was made through Audible as an exclusive. And so it is technically disqualified from on a technicality has been, and like I kind of took some time off of reading the books I thought I would be reading, like to test out what was going to be my book. I kind of read some other stuff, which I'll talk about soon, because I was like, it's decided. But now I'm back in the frickin' race, and I've only got a few days to figure out.
Jesus Christ.
Boy, oh boy. I'll figure it out, guys. By the next time that we record, I have to pick. So I'll...
It will be picked.
Yeah, we'll find it. I mean, actually, I don't know if I can tell you guys what I pick. I'll let you know, though, as soon as I'm allowed. But yeah, that was a tragedy that I wanted to update everyone on. But I read, sort of, three things this week. Let's start with the two graphic novels. I mentioned that I bought a bunch of graphic novels over the weekend, and it was so exciting because I just felt like I hadn't had new graphic novels in a while, and I just wanted to jump into them, and so I did, and I read two in a night. The first one was called Hobo Mom by Max de Raziguet, who wrote Bastard.
It's funny, as soon as you said the title, I was like, that reminds me of Bastard. Yes! Like, that sounds like the same type of
and
book.
And it's funny because it was a very similar story in a lot of ways. If you'll recall, cool. Bastard was a story about a mom and her son who are, like, fugitives from the law. They are thieves, and they've stolen a lot of money, and they're on the run from the law, and it's just kind of their relationship. And I loved that book, as you will recall. So I was in this awesome bookshop, and I saw Hobo Mom by Max de Raziguet, and I was like, well, I don't... Yeah, of course I'm gonna buy this. When did it come out? Actually, I think that it might be brand new. Oh, no, it came out in 2019, so... it's 2 years old. But anyways, I loved it. It was so good. I will say I liked Bastard more for one very simple reason. Hobo Mom was too short. It was 68 pages long. And it was like, just as I started to really get in love with these characters and love the setting and the story, it ended. And I was like, I felt like it should be double as long. Totally. By the way, I should mention that this was co-written with Charles Forsman. I don't know exactly what roles they took on. Max de Raziguet definitely did the illustrations because it's like the same illustration style as Bastard. But yeah, Hobo Mom is the story of a mom who is homeless, and she, like, you know, you meet her when she's what's it called when you jump trains? You know, like you jump onto a train and you...
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know.
That shows how badass we are. Ride the rails? I have no idea what it's called, but she she's riding those rails, and you get the sense that she doesn't have a home, and she goes to this, like, it looks like kind of a ranch, where there's a man and his daughter, and she's the mom of that daughter, but the daughter doesn't know who she is. And so clearly she ran away from her family when she... like when the daughter was quite young, and now she's returned, and so it's about the relationship there, and like, can she stay or does she have to go? Like, it was really cool. I just wish it was longer. I really wish it was longer. But it was really cheap. It was only like $15 for a hardcover graphic novel. So anyways, then I read Rust Belt by Sean Knickerbocker. Let me make sure that I said that right, because that seems like the kind of thing that I would mess up. Nope, I'm right. It is by that author.
Nice.
Never heard of the author, never heard of this graphic novel, just saw it in this shop. Like I said, this shop had I want to go back. It was such a... It had...
It sounds awesome.
Such an incredible variety of graphic novels. Honestly, it reminded me... Oh, God. I miss the world, Raylene. But it reminded me of one of my favorite, all-time favorite bookshops, which is Gosh Comics. It's called Gosh Comics in London. Oh, that store. Raylene, I'm going to take you there someday. I don't know how, but I will.
Take me on a date.
I'll take
please.
You on a date to Gosh Comics. Oh, God, it says temporarily closed. Okay, I'm hoping this is because of the pandemic. Oh, God. Okay, I'll look at that later. So Rust Belt is a graphic novel, like I said, by this illustrator. And it was, again, it was literally the exact same problem. And I read both of them in the same night. It turned out to be an anthology, which was cool, because I got, it was like a real, it was like a sampler of this author. I got to really, like, try out five or six different stories from this author, and I really enjoyed them, but it was too short. It was, every story ended just as it was beginning, in my opinion, you know? It had that feeling that sometimes you get with short story collections, where you're like, I'm not getting deep enough here. So... Okay, it says here that he has another graphic novel that's published that seems to just be one story. So maybe I gotta check that one out, though. Because I followed him on Instagram. Like, I thought he was a great illustrator. He had great stories, great characters. But it all ended too soon. So I read those two graphic novels. Felt good to be back on my graphic novel train. Why did I ever leave?
You need that.
but then, the question you're all asking... Do I deserve a hardcover punishment? Raylene, is the reason that I didn't pick a punishment because I don't want a punishment?
It's possible. Either you don't need to be punished, so you didn't feel like you needed to pick one, or you just don't want to be punished, and you deserve to be.
The book in question, No One Is Talking About This, by Patricia Lockwood. I DNF'd it. so I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Okay, just continue. Okay. I'll decide what happens. Please. As you tell
yes,
me what happens.
Yes, as my jury and judge, Raylene, here is my case. I spent, like, 5 days reading this book, and in fact, filmed my reading vlog for our patrons about this book, because I was like, you know, the people knew that I was trying to read it, and it's like a new release, and I thought it was a cool book to do a reading vlog on. So I like went in fully trying to read this book. Like I said, I spent like 5 days every day reading, and I only made it to frickin' page 74 because I was just not jiving with it. Like, I don't even know what to say other than I could not penetrate that book. I just did not understand.
You couldn't get in there.
I just couldn't get in there, Aileen. It's funny because, like, I think we've talked about the origin story for me of this book, but you sent me a picture or a link to this book because I think you saw it on Goodreads and you were like, this sounds like an Ariel book. You linked me to it. I clicked on it, entranced by the cover. And I was like, holy shit, this is, like, totally an Ariel book. It's about an influencer online who... Is there an influencer who isn't online? Maybe. I don't know. An influencer who, you know, is big on social media, who is making observations about the modern world and about social media, and who, partway through the novel, something happens with her family, and it kind of makes her think about the differences between the online world and the real world. I forgot what wasn't online. What's not the internet? Sounds just up my alley. Well, I start reading this book, and I'm freaking loving it, Raylene. I'm jiving as hell with it, okay? Which is why it's so confusing, because the first, like, 20 pages of this book, I'm like, wow, this could be a new favorite. It is so similar to Weather by Jenny Offal. It's in this exact newish writing genre of autofiction. Autofiction's been around for a long time, but it's currently having a new wave of this genre. Yeah. And it's this kind of almost... third person-y, like, this was third person, the Jenny Offal one I don't think was third person, but this kind of weirdly third person, first person, outside of the body experience, where it's very obvious when you pick it up in a bookshop if you're dealing with one of these books, because it's like a paragraph and then a paragraph break and then a big space and then a paragraph and then a paragraph break and a big space, and it just does that over and over. So it's like these tiny little moment vignettes instead, almost, and I'm not saying this as a criticism, but almost like reading a series of tweets, that's what they're called, like a Twitter page. And it's so absurd, because I was really, like, there are so many great lines in this book. There are so many quotables in this book. There are so many excellent observations. Like, I was reading this book, and I was like, Patricia Lockwood is understanding me. I was like, she's seeing this all in the same way I'm seeing this all, this internet social media thing.
Yeah.
But after 20 pages of the same thing over and over and over, observation disconnected from the next observation, disconnected from the next observation, I just was so exhausted, and it was like really grating. I couldn't read it anymore. I was getting so frustrated, and I kept trying to push through because I was like, I don't want the punishment. I really want to finish this book, and I kept reading it. Literally, like I said, I was on page 74 of like a 200 page book, so almost halfway through the book. And I turned to Connor, and I was like, when do you stop reading a book, Connor? When do you DNF a book? And he's like, and he was like, when the idea of reading something else seems way better. And I was like, I have reached that point. I was like, I don't want to read this anymore. And I was like, I'm just going to stop for now, and I'll try again later. And then I never tried again. I was like, I can't return. It felt really shallow, but it's confusing because her thoughts seemed really deep. But there was absolutely no plot. There was absolutely no sense of characters. It just didn't... I couldn't connect, Raylene. I couldn't do it.
Wow.
What do you think?
That is so interesting. I totally didn't see that coming.
I know,
somehow.
Me neither.
I thought you either were just gonna, like, just not have read it at all, or that you would have finished it.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is unprecedented. I know. But here are my thoughts. I think DNFing a book is kind of the same as finishing it in the sense that we're thinking of. Yes. Like, you are done with the book.
Exactly. I'm not
going
to try again.
You are not reading it anymore. Exactly. You're not going to try again. It's not like you're just taking a break from it and you will read it in a year like you sometimes do. Like, that's a completely different thing,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's an aerial thing, but it's like, it's different from actively deciding, I am never going to pick this up again. Yeah. So I don't believe you should be punished.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Do you have any other hardcovers that you've bought recently?
No.
Are any of the books that you bought hardcovers?
Actually, when I bought my 12 books, I just bought paperbacks because of my fear the punishment.
Okay. So for now, both of us are free from the punishment. It's We've got some time to think about what the punishment should be. Although I think we should give a shout out to the top three or top four that I sent to you, and then maybe the people can decide actively and just like vote on which they think is the best punishment for us.
I'm trying to
find them here.
Yeah.
So here are the different punishments that I chose. Read the lowest rated books on your Goodreads or whatever website you choose. I love that one a lot because I have some books that have such low ratings. And I think I'm like, that's cool. I should just read them.
Yeah.
We choose your next book to read. Like, our patrons or our listeners get to pick the next book we read. I like the idea of that because you and I could just like take a picture of our bookshelves and be like, you just pick one.
Right.
Pick whatever the hell you want. And I don't know how that would work because there's a lot of books. But anyway, I think that would be a fun one. You have to read a mashed potato book immediately.
I love that one.
I like that one a lot too. Because that's like a punishment, but it's also like helping you. You know? It's like, this is a book that you've been meaning to read anyway.
Yeah, it's punishment, but it's also not mean.
Exactly. Same with this last one. I mean, it might be a little mean for you. To read a very big book next.
You know what? I'm going to take my power, because I was supposed to pick the one anyway, and now that you've read them out loud and talked about it, I'm going to choose, and I think our punishment should have to be to read a mashed potato book, because I think that it works really well for our pod, and I think that it is a punishment, but it's not something that's going to make me sad or frustrated, but it is actually a punishment, because you kind of lose what you wanted to read next, right? Like, you probably have a plan for the sorts of books you want to read next, and now if you don't finish something, your plans all get derailed. So I think that I choose that. I choose it. It's the official punishment. Okay. So we have to do a good job.
That's good to know, because I will definitely have it. I think my next hardcover that will be coming for me is in June. The Beautiful and the Chosen. Is that what it's called? The Chosen and the Beautiful? Oh my god.
Yeah, mine is in May because I pre-ordered the Anthropocene Reviewed.
Okay. So we've got like a couple of months to just, you know, get ready for that.
Did John Green do the audiobook for that? It would be insane if he didn't.
Yeah. That would be insane.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Because I'm just realizing that would be a great audiobook to do. Of course. Absolutely. He did. Here it is. I see it now. Cool. All right. I'll be doing that, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Well, what are we currently reading? That is the big question, I guess. What are you currently reading?
Okay. I'll kind of like work my way down the list.
Yeah.
Because I am still technically currently reading Monkey Beach by Eden Robinson.
Whoops. However, I feel like you haven't taken that long on a book in ages.
No, exactly. So I've kind of reached the point where I think I might DNF it, but it's my book club read. Whoops. Like, I specifically bought it so that my friends and I could talk about it, but I'm not the last person to read it either. One of my other friends is still reading it, and she's at about the same place I am, roughly 100 pages in, so I'm like, let me just give it like a week more, and if she finishes it and I haven't read a single page, then maybe I will give up. Like, yeah. I'm kind of just ignoring it and pretending it doesn't exist, because I had to read my hardcovers. That was my thing. I pushed it aside for the hardcovers, but now that the hardcovers are out of the way, I'm like,
That's funny.
So anyway, I'm technically still reading that, but I haven't read a single page since we last spoke. Then, this is exciting, I'm reading Emma by Jane Austen.
Of course!
Yours and my book club pick.
We need
for
to
the
do
pod.
That, yeah. Gosh.
Yeah.
Things are piling up in my life, really.
I know. I thought stressed, so I read my two hardcovers and started reading Emma because I was like, I have too much book homework. I don't like it. Got kind of stressful for a moment. So I am reading it. I'm actually listening to it on audiobook, as you know. We both,
we got it.
We're both listening to the same audiobook.
Yeah, we signed up for a free account of Audible with our eBooks Unbound podcast email, because we were like, we get a free audiobook, so we're listening to, we have a shared Emma now. That's really cute.
Yeah, we share Emma. And, like, it feels kind of silly because there's so many free versions of Emma that you could get, just, like, as a shout out for the people of the world. If you want to join our book club, you can get it for free on Spotify if you have Spotify, or you can get it on Scribd if you're subscribed to Scribd, and you can probably get it from your library because it's so old. It's everywhere. But I wanted to get a specifically, like, a good one. I didn't want just any old Emma. I wanted one that was, like, came highly recommended, and the narrator for this one is great. So this audiobook is read by Jenny Agutter. We are not sure if we're saying this correctly, but
we tried to practice and it didn't work.
I'm really enjoying her narration. It's very easy to listen to, and honestly, at times, especially when she is narrating Harriet's voice, she actually sounds like the actress who plays Harriet in the new movie. She sounds like Mia Goth, and I'm like, what the hell? This is incredible.
Mia Goth is really interesting. Yeah, Mia Goth is really cool. When I looked her up on Instagram after I watched Emma the first time, and it's shocking what her aesthetic is like in the year 2020 versus, like, what her aesthetic is in the year 1776 or whatever the hell the Emma is set.
That's funny. Have you ever seen the movie A Cure for Wellness?
No.
This is totally random, but she has a very, very different vibe in that movie as well.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. She's in a bathtub full of, like, snakes at one point. It's crazy. We're getting off topic. Well, back to Jane Austen. Yeah, so Emma, I'm not going to talk about it too much because obviously there's going to be a whole special episode dedicated to this book, but I'm actually not hating it.
Yes!
Which is surprising. This is all that the people wanted. It was so funny. When we decided on this book, so many people were like, huh? How did you convince her to read a Jane Austen book?
I don't know, but I did, and like, that's what matters.
Somehow you did, but also you gave me the copy that I have. If you hadn't done that, I don't think I would have considered it.
This is a giant secret plan of mine. Oh, really? Would you like this nice copy of Emma? I don't know. Just sitting around.
I just couldn't say no to it. Honestly, it's so pretty. And I'm not even actually reading the physical book, which is the funny part.
Yeah, that's
but
funny.
It's beautiful, and honestly, I just find it to be a very comforting read. Like, I can understand why people enjoy Jane Austen just, like, as a comfort read.
Yeah.
Because everything is kind of nice. Even, like, when something, like, quote-unquote stressful happens in the book, it's just, like, it's not even stressful. It's just oh my god, this person suggested that I shouldn't be friends with that person. Oh my god, I'm so vexed. It's like, you're gonna be okay.
Vexed. No, it's true.
Yeah. It's awesome. I really like it, though. It's doing a good job. So I'm happy to be reading that. However, I'm also reading one other book.
Oh my god.
I just started it yesterday, so I've barely read any, but I think you'll be happy to find out I'm reading this because it's a reread of one of my favorite books.
Golden Boy?
And that is I Am the Messenger.
Oh, okay. Boy. Very cool.
Not Golden Boy. Golden Boy is my next reread, probably. I have them both, like, they were both sitting next to each other on a shelf, and I was like, who should I read next? Golden Boy is a little bit too stressful after just reading Dark Horses. I decided to jump into I Am the Messenger. And it's already so great. I've only read like 20 pages, but I feel so good about it. I really love it. Honestly, I'm just going to read the first couple of lines for anybody who doesn't even have a clue what this book is about. So the first chapter is called The Hold Up. The gunman is useless. I know it. He knows it. The whole bank knows it. Even my best mate Marvin knows it. And he's more useless than the gunman. It's good stuff. Ah, it's so funny. Yeah, this book is great. I highly recommend. I'm having a great time with it. So
that's awesome.
I thought you'd be happy to see that I'm rereading one of my favorite books.
I actually am really happy. Whenever you do a reread, read a short story collection or read a big fantasy novel, I'm content. Yeah.
That's what she likes to see. I know. Honestly, sometimes I'm like, I should just do what Ariel wants me to do because it is the thing that makes me most happy. Yeah, also,
it works out, doesn't it? Isn't that
funny? Yeah, it really does. I should listen to you more often.
Well, what am I reading? I read those two graphic novels. I DNF'd the other book I was currently reading. So I kind of feel like I'm in a little bit of a no man's land. The thing that I really am going to be focusing on the next couple of days is figuring out the Life's Library book. Basically, that's what I was doing with a few books. I was, like, reading 100 pages of them, like I did with All We Shall Know and So You've Been Publicly Shamed. And, like, I was just reading a good chunk of it and to be like, is this the right flavor? So I'm going to keep doing that over the next few days. Fingers crossed I figure it out. I mean... It's so much pressure to pick a perfect book to recommend to one of your, like, I respect Rosianna so much. I think that she's an actual genius. Yeah. And then John Green is one of my favorite authors of all time. And I'm like, oh my God. And I've just got to show up with a book. Who do I, oh God, it's so hard.
You gotta do it.
It's a bit of a nightmare. But, like, I know a lot of good books. So surely I can pick one.
I think you can do it. Yeah. I really do.
So that's what I'm going to focus on reading next. I'm not currently reading any physical books. The only thing I have to mention is I'm in the middle of an audiobook. And I before we recorded, I tried to figure out who recommended this to me. And I can't find it. I think it was one of my patrons. I'm sorry. It might have, you know what? It also might have been someone on Instagram DMs, and that crap gets lost. So
it gets lost so easily.
Yeah, it could have been in a comment. I'm going to tell you guys, I've now been on the internet for 10 years, and approximately 80 million people have recommended me books. And so I don't know where they come from a lot of the time, but I am very grateful to the people who, like, you know, read a book or hear of a book and think, I think Ariel would like that. And then they send it to me. Anyway, that's what happened here. A while ago on the pod and on my YouTube channel, I hauled a book called Founders at Work. Do you remember that book? It's like a series of interviews from startup founders. So yeah, I think I because that. Of that book, somebody recommended this book to me. It's called Lost and Founder by Rand Fishkin. He is the founder and former CEO of Moz, which is, I'm gonna be honest, a company I haven't heard of, but it's one of these giant startups that, like, is a multi-million dollar company. And it's sort of like a memoir, but also like a how-to and a, like, lessons learned of Silicon Valley and being an entrepreneur and especially the startup world. The subtitle is the mostly awful, sometimes awesome truth about building a tech startup. And so I was just like, yeah, that sounds cool. Let me see if they've got an odd, because I was like, this is exactly the kind of audiobook I like a non-fiction-y memoir, kind of chill, not too serious book. Perfect. That's it for me. So I looked it up and my library had it, and I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot, as I was painting my office. And next thing you know, I'm halfway through it. So I'm really liking it. That's enjoying awesome. It. It's not like becoming a new favorite. I'm not, like, obsessed with it, but I am enjoying it and I'm learning some interesting things. So yeah, it's cool. It's kind of random, isn't it? I don't know.
That is random, but I like that. It's also nice to occupy your mind when you're doing physical labor.
Yes, it really is.
You know? I really think that's a good idea for people. If you're going to just be doing lots of painting, just listen to an audiobook.
Yeah, you're totally right. All right, well, it is now time for us to jump into book news. So the book news this week is really sad. It's really sad, but I really felt like as I was looking for book news, this was what I had to talk about. There wasn't really anything else I could talk about, and it was the passing of two very intense, like famous authors. So, Beverly Cleary, they passed away within, like, 3 days of each other. They both passed away on the same day. Beverly Cleary passed away. She was 104 years old.
Fucking hell.
I know.
She was so important to my childhood, too.
I know.
I read so many of her books as a kid.
Oh, gosh. I actually didn't read a lot. I didn't read any of her books as a kid, but I read 15 by Beverly Cleary, yeah, which I've talked about on the pod before. It's one of my most treasured books and physical possessions. And it's so near and dear to my heart. When I heard that she passed away, I thought that was so sad. But, I mean, she lived to be 104. That's
insane.
Yeah, that's an incredible life. She did a good job. Exactly. She lived, a truly full life. Born 1916. Are you kidding me?
That's crazy.
That's insane. And, she passed away, I think it was 18 days before her 105th birthday. So,
I was gonna say,
really, she lived 105 years. That's nuts. She is such a cool lady. I was reading her Wikipedia page, and this is whenever people pass away, it's one of these moments where a lot of people kind of go, oh yeah, I forgot about that person or whatever. And that's what happened to me, and I just kind of looked her up, and she's such a cool person. She sold 91 million copies of her books worldwide. Whoa. Since she started publishing in 1950. Oh god, the photos of her are so iconic. She just looks like such a lady from the 1950s, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's epic. She's so cool. So anyway, the photo on her Wikipedia is her pretending to write, like posing for a photo.
That's
and cute. There's a cat, and the cat is called Kitty, and I had a cat named Kitty, and anyway, that doesn't matter, but that is true. And then the other author who passed away was Larry McMurtry. I've never pronounced his name before.
McMurtry.
Yes, thank you. He was 84. He was, I think, though, his most famous book is Lonesome Dove, which won the Pulitzer Prize. But he was also a screenplay writer. He wrote Brokeback Mountain, which I didn't know about.
Shoot.
I know. I had it in front of me. Hold on. It said, yes, earning eight. Wait. Hold on. It was loads of Oscars and Emmys. Anyway. It doesn't matter. It does matter, but everyone can go and look this up. What I also thought was really, really cool was that, here it says, he accepted his Oscar while wearing a dinner jacket over jeans and cowboy boots. He was super well known for writing Westerns and books that took place in Texas. The other really cool thing about him was that he owned some bookstores. He was an antiquarian bookseller. He had a couple of different bookshops throughout his life. I think he had 3 bookshops in all. He just, again, seemed like a really awesome person. And it's just a great opportunity to go and check these authors out and revisit their books. So anyway, it is sad news, but I really wanted to just talk about these cool authors, encourage people to go read about their lives and check out their books. I really recommend 15. It's such a pretty book.
I really recommend Mitch and Amy. That was one I liked a lot.
There you go.
I don't remember what it's about, but I remember loving it.
That's how I feel about a lot of the children's books I read. I'm like, I don't really remember it, but it's important to me.
Right? I read this book called Ginger Pie, I think, that was cute. About a dog. Oh, it was great, but I don't remember what it's about.
Yeah, there you go. Now it's time for Ruben's Bookolds.
Woo!
Do we have a theme? I feel like we don't even have a theme. We just acted like there's a theme there, but I don't think there's a theme. I think there's just an awkward emptiness.
For book news, there's a theme, so we can just go la 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 la, and it'll be fine.
That's funny. CJ, you've got to leave in that awkward gap so people can hear how awkward it is. But also, I think it's time that Ruben's Bookolds gets a theme.
I feel like I deserve it. So the book that I have selected, the book that Ruben has selected, it's not actually that old. I decided to kind of break my pattern of picking something super old, cool, because that's not necessarily what this is all about. I picked a book that came out in 2018 that I had never heard of but sounds super cool, so I wanted to give it a shout out. It's called All the Fabulous Beasts by Priya Sharma, and I found it on BBC.com. I'm not sure how I quite found this, but it sounds really cool, and a guy named Tade Thompson wrote this little blurb that I'm going to read for you guys, because this is what convinced me that I honestly really want to read this. He said, I'd like to suggest All the Fabulous Beasts by Priya Sharma. This is a collection of 16 uncanny tales that range from plain weird to the darkest fantasy. But don't let the subject matter put you off. Sharma writes with such clarity and verve, sentences with no flab, the precision of a surgeon in service of narrative.
Well,
in many of the tales, there's a sense of the past in conversation with the present, along with an undercurrent of loss. Each of these touching, eminently human tales will leave you thinking about them long after you've put the book down. And apparently, this book won a Shirley Jackson Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Literature of Horror, the Dark Fantastic, and Psychological Suspense back in 2018.
That's awesome.
So, that sounds just like 100% up my alley, yeah. And I don't know how I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
And the cover is really cool.
It
like,
is. I was just looking at it. This is a book really cool looking.
I need to get it, because I, like I've been talking about, I want to read more short stories. I'm very interested in short stories as a medium, and winning a Shirley Jackson Award just is a cherry on top, because I do really love Shirley Jackson, so that feels like a special, special little moment. So that's Ruben's Book Old. It's only a few years old, but I thought it was worthy.
That's cool. No, I like that you just, like, let us know about some books that are maybe under-known.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, what is it time for next? Wait a minute. Did we do it? Is that the whole podcast?
It's time to go home.
Oh, man. All right. Well,
although technically it is Books on Bucket. Yeah. We didn't plan for Books on Bucket.
No, I planned. I have it.
Okay.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you for joining. Raylene keeps taking swigs of wine, and I just feel like the people need to know.
I'm drinking my pink Pinot Grigio out of a bottle. I didn't even grab the glass.
I wanted to save you the elegance of telling people you're just chugging it out of the bottle, but if you give that information freely, that's up to you.
I'm not ashamed.
That is the end of this episode. Thank you so much to everyone for joining us for this podcast, for this episode, for every episode. It's, I don't know, man, I just love this. In my bio on Instagram, I have a favorite thing I do, and then it links to the Instagram for this podcast, because that's every awesome. Time that we get to record, it's so much fun, and I love the community here. I love the enthusiasm on the Instagram and hearing from you guys in the Patreon. I just think it's so great. So we are off to record our Patreon-only mini-podcast, which is our weekly mini-podcast where we answer a question, usually from a bookish question, usually from our Discord. But this week it came straight from the Patreon. I forget how the heck I found it. I don't know. I just went onto the Patreon and somebody had messaged us, and I was like, all right, cool. I will check this out. It's from Carmage, and it says, I love the podcast, and I have a question for Books on Bucket. What is a book you have bought on a trip or is connected to a memory that you keep for nostalgia but maybe never intend on reading?
Amazing. Love this question. I've got answers for this.
Yeah, this is one of the I think this is one of the best Books on Bucket we've had in a while, because I instantly thought of a couple, and I'm so curious to hear yours.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about it.
Thank you so much to everyone who supports the Patreon. I'm sure you hear this in a lot of the podcasts that you listen to or the YouTube channels that you watch, but Patreon is such a powerful way for like us to get to have our own community and to support this podcast, because like you said, if we didn't have a Patreon, and you know, we were like shoving this in between all of our work weeks and stuff, today we probably wouldn't have recorded, because it's like literally 11:30 at night for me, and I'm like, but
we would have just decided maybe not.
Yeah, we probably would have been like, maybe we'll just miss a week, but we've got the support of you guys, and we are able to fit this in. So thank you again to everyone who supports us. It's patreon.com/booksunbound. It's linked on our website too, which is booksunboundpodcast.com. And yeah, so we're off to answer that question, and we will talk to you guys all next week. Bye.